How we do come before you tonight just to praise you and to thank you for just the opportunity to come and worship together. We're here on this eve of Christmas, and remind us, Lord, that it's all about this babe that was born in Bethlehem, and Father, that's why we celebrate Christmas, and it's so good to hear, it seems like even more this year, Merry Christmas, God, celebrating the birth of this precious Savior. I pray for everyone who's gathered here. I pray that tonight, Lord, we would be here to do one thing, and that is to exalt your name and be reminded of why Jesus came, and as we celebrate and observe the Lord's Supper. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This year, we're going to add a little something to the service. Most of the time, we just take the Lord's Supper and do the candlelight. But I wanted to give you just a thought, just a devotional thought. And tonight, the purpose of us being here is to celebrate the Lord's Supper. But I want us to take a minute to focus on not the three wise men of Christmas, but the three wise women. We know that the Bible talks about the wise men. And if you look over here at the manger scene, we see there are three wise men, right? Now, how many of you believe there were three wise men? All right. Well, other people who are much more spiritual than you know that the Bible doesn't ever say that there are three wise men. And people take a lot of delight and joy in reminding you of that if you ever refer to the three wise men. Well, I hope and I pray that when I get to heaven, I run into those three wise men. And I hope it's three. So I can tell the rest of you who are so spiritual that it was three wise men and not four or two or one. And also hope and pray that Mary rode to Bethlehem on a donkey. Because a lot of people will remind you, if you ever refer to Mary riding to Bethlehem on a donkey, that she probably, the Bible doesn't say that she rode on a donkey. But it says that she got there somehow. I don't know if she walked or what. You know, we don't want to make the Bible say what it doesn't say, but we also want to see this evening that there were some wise women in the biblical story surrounding the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And I want to just focus on those three women just briefly. The first one that I want to remind you of tonight is Elizabeth. Elizabeth was a wise woman because Elizabeth was a waiting woman. Now, some of you may not know who she was. Let me give you a little description of Elizabeth. Elizabeth was probably middle-aged. She had come from a priestly family. She had a heritage that was deeply religious, a great religious heritage. We learned that she was the descendant of Aaron, who was the first high priest. She was very religious, and you would think that because of her deep spiritual pedigree that Elizabeth would have lived a life that would have been charmed. But unfortunately, for her and her husband Zacharias, they did not live what you would call a charmed life. She and her husband married, and they wanted to have children. They probably prayed to have children. No doubt they tried to have children, and they failed many times to conceive and give birth to a child. And when we see them in the story, we see that they are aging. Maybe they wanted a boy. Maybe they wanted a girl. Most men in the Bible wanted to have a boy because the boy would carry on the name and would be the inheritor of the land, and he would carry on the tradition of the family. But I feel quite sure that they probably got to a point where they just wanted a child. Didn't matter if it was a boy or a girl. And so month after month and year after year, they were disappointed. Zacharias was a faithful follower of the Lord. He served as a priest, and Elizabeth faithfully carried on her prestigious religious heritage, but to no avail. They waited, and they waited on God to give them a child. Can you see Elizabeth? There she is. She's waiting. Can you hear Elizabeth as the sunset and the candles in their home were extinguished? Can you hear the gentle sobs of Elizabeth unconsolable by her husband. Can you feel the disappointment as Zacharias holds her? As she eventually cries herself to sleep in the midnight, there lay this precious couple, this precious aging couple, waiting. Waiting on God, waiting on the child, waiting for that precious privilege of being a parent. You know, it's amazing how disappointment engenders wisdom. It is so amazing how God makes and molds our lives through the disappointments of our lives, how He makes us wait. You know, you read over and over in the Proverbs how foolishness doesn't wait, how foolishness will take matters into its own hands, and how foolishness will rush ahead of God. But in God's wisdom, there was a prophecy in motion that would be fulfilled in just the right time. It would be about 6 months before the Messiah would be born. Zacharias and Elizabeth would have a boy, and they would name him John. And this child, John, would be a picture of Elijah. And the Bible says that he would make the way for the Lord. But in God's plan, it required that some of His most faithful servants wait. The Bible says, "But those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." And so Elizabeth is the first wise woman. The second one, of course, is Mary. We can't leave Mary out of the story. She was a wise woman, not because she was a waiting woman, but she was a wise woman because she was a willing woman. We know little about Mary's background. We know that she is a young woman. While Elizabeth came from a what you'd call a priestly heritage, we see that Mary comes from a kingly heritage. She is from the house and the line of David, the great king. We know that Mary was betrothed, which means she was engaged with a greater commitment. We know that Mary was in love with Joseph. We know that she was anticipating the day of her marriage. She was looking forward to that day where she would hear coming through the streets the sound of the wedding party, and the father and the son would come and would pick her up, and they would take her to the marriage ceremony. She was anticipating one day building a home, settling down, and being surrounded by her friends and family. She was looking forward to having a normal life. She anticipated having children, and normal children, healthy children, happy children. All of this was planned, and it was scheduled, and it was her plan. And it was a normal plan. It was the plan of every young Palestinian girl. But then that angel came, that fearful, magnificent, glorious angel would come, and he would change everything. Mary, God's chosen you. You're the chosen one who will receive the blessing of God. You will conceive of the Holy Spirit. You'll give birth to the Son of God. The child will be a boy. He'll be healthy. He'll be born to you, and he will be anything but normal. He's been in existence from eternity past, and he will be conceived in your untouched womb. He will be the Creator, but he will empty himself down to a small cell. The angel tells Mary that she will be overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. The Creator of the universe, if you think about this, will go through a massive cell division where he will be just a small cell, and he will eventually end up with 37.2 trillion cells, a normal baby boy. Mary, forget about your wedding. Forget about the marriage supper. Forget about building a small house and settling down. Forget about your honeymoon. Forget about normal. Because if you do this, your life will be anything but normal. Mary, you will love this child, and he will be perfect. He will be holy. He'll be the Savior, the ruler, the King, the Messiah. He'll be the Master. He'll be the Shepherd. He'll be the Servant. He will be the Bread of Life. He will be the Living Water. He will be the Gate, the Resurrection, and the Life. He will be the way, the truth, and the life. He will be the light of the world. He will be the Alpha and the Omega. He will be crucified. Your own soul will be pierced. Mary, 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 are you willing? And she said, let it be to me according to your word. Mary was a wise woman because she was a willing woman. And now the third woman of Christmas, third wise woman, was a woman by the name of Anna. Anna was a wise woman because she was a witnessing woman. Now she was old. We learn about Anna in the Gospel of Luke, and we know that Anna had been married for 7 years, and either she was a widow for 84 years or she was 84 years old. And I tend to think that she had been a widow for 84 years. And if you think about this, you add it up, she had been a widow for 84 years. She'd been married for 7 years. That meant she was married 91 years ago, and she probably was at least 14. So most people believe that Anna was about 105 years old when she met Jesus in the temple that day. She was from the tribe of Asher. Moses prophesied about Asher, and this is what he said about Asher. He said, your strength will be equal to your days. Your strength will equal your days. And so here's this old woman, Anna, and you would think that she would be very weak. But I think as she got older, she became stronger. You see, she had been a widow after only 7 years of marriage. We don't know how her husband died, but we know he did die. But she never remarried. She just became a minister. She ministered, it says, daily in the temple. She was ministering there, the scene in the temple. It's 40 days after the birth of Jesus, and Jesus is being presented to the Lord. It is a time of purification for Mary. She's gone there to be purified of her, the birth of her child. And Simon is there, and Simon represents the priestly role, and Anna represents, she's called actually a prophetess. She gives thanks to the Lord for this child that's been born. And then the Bible says that Anna spoke of him to all those who looked for the redemption in Jerusalem. Anna witnessed. She was wise because she was a witnessing woman. And so we have these three women of Christmas. We have Elizabeth, wise because she waited. Mary was wise because she was willing. And Anna was wise because she witnessed for the Lord. You know, tonight we come to take the Lord's Supper. There are a lot of things that are happening here, and tonight you are witnessing. You are being a witness. You are being a witness by receiving the Lord's Supper. You are declaring that He is the resurrection and the life. He was crucified. He was buried. He rose again. And you're witnessing that He is the bread of life. He is the only one who will satisfy and fill anyone's hungry soul. He is the true vine, the Bible says. He is the true vine. The Bible says that when we remain in Him, we will bear much fruit. We abide in Christ, and the result is this: we bear fruit. Let's pray. Father, we pray that you would teach us, Lord, through these women of Christmas, God, that we would be faithful and true to be people who will wait on you, Lord. And this year, 2017, is just right around the corner, Lord. It's going to require for us to wait sometimes. And I pray that you'd help us to wait on you. And God, we do get impatient. And God, help us not to venture into foolishness by trying to make things happen in our lives or in the lives of our family or in the church or in any way, Lord. Help us to be people who are wise enough to wait. God, help us to demonstrate the willingness of one like Mary who was willing to do whatever you asked her to do. And you asked her to do something that was huge. And this changed her life. And her life became one big sacrifice. And she sacrificed her whole life. And then we see Anna, who was a witness for the Lord. And she went everywhere she could, telling people that this baby that was born was the redemption of Jerusalem. God, help us to be people who will proclaim that Jesus Christ is the one who redeems us. He's the one who takes our lives and makes something that's worthless into something that's valuable. God, I pray that now you'd be glorified as we take the Lord's Supper. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Robert Sproul, if you'd say the blessing over the bread. Gives instruction to the church on the Lord's Supper. This is what he says. He says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Thank you. Justin Thompson, would you say the blessing over the cup? Paul said to the Corinthians, he said, in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper and said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink in remembrance of me. Know that on that night when Jesus was betrayed, said that the disciples had taken the Lord's Supper and they left that place and they sang a hymn as they left. And so Steve Bass is going to come and lead us in a hymn. Why don't you stand up, and we're going to light candles tonight and pass this candle along to the person next to you. And that's what the gospel is. It's sharing the light of the world. Jesus Christ came and he... Bible says that in John chapter 1, it says, in him was light, and the light was the life. And he certainly has brought life into my life. And if you don't know Christ, the greatest decision you'll ever make is to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior.